Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Turns this into a third and manageable. Flatter down. Williams downfield. Open man. Touchdown. DJ Moore.
Offside. Defense from the third.
The Bears go back in front.
Wow. Some developments early in the show. Here I am. First of all, intern Dom here, which is always a treat. Secondly, I didn't even know Bob was coming in. So you might be watching on YouTube. I put up the Bob mannequin in his chair. And lo and behold, Bob walks in. The real person, Bob Pompiani, removing his own mannequin right now. And how many people have said that in history? How many people have been able to say that? But the real story is the shirt that I mentioned yesterday that I stole from Bob, I wore today.
I totally forgot about it,
yeah,
actually.
And he recognized it. I'm thinking, well, literally thinking at home, I had many choices today. I'm thinking.
No, that's yours now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I like it.
I feel bad that I stole it.
No, you needed it is what happened. You needed it, right?
Yeah, I did. It was cold. Yeah. And it was very unselfish, very kind of you. But I literally thought this morning, I don't know, a half hour ago, what sweatshirt or pullover do I wear today? I saw this one. I love this one. It's a Sirixon. Very sharp, I think. And
I
thought,
do too.
You know what? Bob's not in, so there's no problem here.
No, I was in. Sean, do you like that? It's a nice blue with some embroidery on it.
So he stole that from you?
No. I gave it to he needed. It was cold. What were we
doing?
Did
you give it to me permanently? It didn't feel like it. Felt like I was borrowing it.
Well, at the time, but now it's yours.
Yeah. All right.
But you need it because it was cold, right? Or something?
Yeah. It was cold that day. And you would literally give me the shirt off your back, and you literally did, Bob. And that means a lot.
Well, I'm glad you wear it, and I'm glad you represent the brand.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not great. I had more blowouts than the 1960 World Series. I don't know what went wrong overnight, but I've been up all night. Can you catch something from a dog?
Yes.
Can humans catch things from dogs?
I believe so.
Because my dog Bailey's been having more blowouts than the 07 Patriots. I don't know what's wrong with him, and that also keeps us from sleeping at night.
Well, you got to the toilet in time, right? You didn't have any accidents along the way.
He didn't necessarily.
Well, dogs they're okay. You expect that from a dog,
right? Yeah, nice little guy. All right, Bob.
You never know how these shows are going to start, Sean. You know, you really don't.
Bob, we have a story to tell at the start. And it's a sad story. And it's sort of where I started yesterday, but the whole thing has blown up since then. And it's Mike Tomlin and his defensive schemes. And you just heard the highlight of yet another ridiculous blown coverage, or maybe the coverage they were supposed to play, a blown scheme, a mistaken scheme. And somebody just walking in for an easy touchdown. How many teams in the NFL have this happen to them as often as the Steelers do? Honestly, think back to the Chiefs game last year.
You're talking about the Menungai touchdown that was just with no resistance?
No, no, no. I'm talking about the DJ Moore running through their defense with nobody covering him.
How about the Menungai one?
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that one, too.
They had two defensive linemen in that game, and that, you know, that's what the Bears do. They run it down there.
That too, and that's going to come up here. So the big picture is this is Mike Tomlin's defense. This is the highest paid defense in all of football. At $170 million, this is the way Mike wants to win games and thinks he can win championships, is having a turnover-free offense and a dominant defense. He thought that this one would literally be a historically good defense this season. That's not an exaggeration. He said that, and so did a number of his players. Instead, we see what are either miscommunications, blown coverages, nonsensical defensive schemes too often. Oh, the Steelers will come up with a defensive gem now and again. That's the way they tease us. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if they hammered the Bills defensively on Sunday, because that's what they do. But when the games really matter, like playoff games, they get blown to pieces. The communication issues last year, these kinds of things, I thought that Minka Fitzpatrick, in so many words by his teammates, was scapegoated, and you noticed he was gone too. Well, maybe it wasn't his fault. Maybe it's not the, and in quotes, coordinator's fault over these past 8 years or 10 years or so. Maybe the one common denominator, Bob, is the head coach. Where else are we supposed to look? Because he runs the defense.
Well, whatever the case, whoever's doing it, and you're right, he's on top of the food chain there. I mean, those are the wrong schematics to employ in those situations. And it seems like on that DJ Moore touchdown, the one you're referring to, that nobody had any idea what was going on. I have no idea how someone can get that wide open in the middle of the field. He was completely wide open. So I've heard different theories on that, that the way they lined up made it obvious. And then Ben Johnson knew it. Apparently, there was a shot of him on the sidelines, like animated, getting into Caleb Williams' ear.
Yeah.
I don't know if that might be reaching at something, but it could be that he saw something and said, hey, change the play, do this, whatever it was. But it can't happen like that. That's, you know, for a defense that's supposed to be that good, you can't allow those kinds of egregious openings. And we've seen it everywhere. First game of the year against the Jets, there were a couple of plays like that where people running, you know, 10 yards behind where they were supposed to be. So,
yes.
So, it's a problem that has to be fixed. And if it's not going to be fixed, it'll probably show up this week.
Well, I can't help but wonder if there's a storm brewing, because really the story here is the reaction from former NFL players, from former Steelers, and from even inside the house. So let's continue to tell this story as it's evolving this week. We start with the clip of the DJ Moore touchdown. Just a ridiculous thing to happen in professional football is to have somebody break that wide open against a defense that's designed to stop the pass, like be ultra sort of slanted towards stopping the pass, right? I don't pretend to be a schematics expert, by the way, but I don't need to read Football for Dummies to know that DJ Moore was wide open and so were a whole bunch of other people the other day. That leads to part two of our little story, Bob. And that is Patrick Queen after the game by the Batconian Mongoose, Brian Batko, asking about the scheme. And Patrick was very polite, but he politely threw Mike Tomlin under the bus. Let's listen to that.
Is that something you could have adjusted in game? Or was it just kind of...
Okay, the first part of that was him asking what was the problem here with all these open receivers. And Patrick Queen said it was the scheme, basically. The second part, which we just heard, was Batko saying, could you have adjusted to that? And Patrick Queen said, yes, a simple yes. Could you have adjusted to that during the game? That's coming from inside the house, Bob. That is coming from inside the house. I think sometimes it was schematic issues that we had, Queen said. That's calling out your coaches, yes?
Yeah, and I told you that on Monday, remember? We were talking about the quarterback, how much blame. I put it all on scheme. I said it didn't matter who was a quarterback, because they wouldn't have won that game based on their scheme, both offensively and defensively.
Well, let's focus on the defense, and it ain't a one-off. That's the thing. It's not a one-off. So If Patrick Queen is going to say that publicly, imagine what those guys are thinking privately. This leads to everything that's happened since then, starting with Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette asking a rather esoteric question of Mike Tomlin at yesterday's news conference.
In the situation of the 25-yard more touchdown we ran up the seam against you guys, it was trips right, four verticals. Is that a situation where you have to check out of the cover three zone? Or is
I am not going to peel back the layers of how we function from a schematic standpoint, although I am impressed by the depth of your question.
I thought that was great.
That was a great answer, yeah. Except sitting there watching.
It was funny, but it also reflected that Tomlin hasn't had a lot of answers on schematics in the past 5 days, 4 days, whatever it is, Bob. That's the problem here. And then that leads into a bunch of ex-players just going off on the scheme here. On Mike Tomlin's scheme. Let's lead off with James Harrison from the James.
Well, you better turn your audio down in the car because it's going to blow your ears out.
James and Joe podcast.
Defense. Soft. I'm tired of seeing the offensive linemen pushing our D-line 2-3 yards deep. We're undisciplined or poorly coached or both. We have a horrible defensive scheme. It's trash. It's garbage. We can't adjust at halftime. It's non-existent. Or we're just being outcoached, or both.
Other than that, Bob, he's a big fan of this defense.
That doesn't leave anything for speculation. He said it the way he felt it, and there are a lot of people who believe that because of the fact that they had this defense, which they paid a lot of money to, and it hasn't been able to adjust to whatever the other team is doing. And listen, if Caleb Williams had been on target, it could have been worse. He missed a
lot
of throws.
Way worse.
But the ones that he did complete were too easy, I thought. And you can't have easy completions, especially with that defense being what they think it is.
And it's not just this year. That's really my whole point in opening here. It's many, many years. And that's Mike Tomlin's baby. But, it didn't stop there. Forget about what myself or Chris Carter or anyone else says. Again, this is coming from inside the house with Patrick Queen. It's coming from one of Tomlin's former players, James Harrison. These are people who intimately, obviously, know defense and X's and O's and football jargon, what you're supposed to do and not supposed to do. And that brings us to Trey Essex on the morning show with Dr. Crowley and Doran Dickerson just the other day, former Steeler tackle. I'm pretty sure he thinks this is about X's and O's too.
It's a scheme thing, dude. It's all scheme. It's the talent is there. And for us to have, and I used this analogy, I guess, last week, but it applies every week, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, for us to go out there and play the way we played against a Colts team, for us to play the way we played last week versus one of the hottest offensive teams in the league, in the Bengals last week, and then to come out and just do that, I don't understand. I do understand. It is definitely scheme because the talent is there. And when you have the players come after the game and just say they don't know, when Wilson comes and it's like we're the best defense on one play and then we're not on other plays, like this is points strictly to the coaching and the positions that they're being put in on a play-to-play, game-to-game basis because it's not consistent and these guys seem to be confused.
I mean, Bob, if this were a court of law, we have like expert witnesses all over the place, and it didn't stop there. Now we go to Baldy, Brian Baldinger, who a lot of times is very complimentary of the Steelers. He wasn't here because he looked closer at the play you talked about, Bob, where the Steelers decided from their 2-yard line, defending their goal line, that a nickel package laden with defensive backs was the best way for the big bad Steelers to defend their goal line. Trey Essex criticized this too, saying, you've only 2 down linemen in the game. Where's Harmon? Where's Black? He said, and I quote, Keanu Benton sucks at this, fending off double teams in situations like that. But that's what the Steelers had. You had Ben Johnson again, animatedly into his microphone saying something. I'm not going to guess. Wait, I am going to guess. He was probably saying something like, telephone, Bob?
Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, please, go ahead. No. Who is it? Oh, my God. He is going ahead. He's taking the call, Sean.
It's a very important call.
I thought he was not going to take the call.
Maybe it's Baldy wanted to.
Was it Baldy? I know. My wife calls
when
during the
when
show,
your family
too.
Member yeah. calls, you have to answer have just to. In case. But it wasn't anything that I needed to tend to, so that was a mistake. I'm sorry.
No.
I interrupted your soliloquy.
I would have answered, too.
Do you like pork rinds?
I do. Okay. Barbecued, usually, Bob. Now I don't remember what I was saying.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, it was Brian Baldinger. You were talking about him.
Baldy, yes.
And what Ben Johnson said or didn't say.
Oh, Ben Johnson probably into the mic saying, can you blanking believe there's only two down? Just run it. Run it up the middle. And that's exactly what they did. And they walked in for another easy, like touchdowns aren't easy to score in the NFL.
Especially on the goal line.
Oh, my God.
Those are the hardest ones, I think, because the space is so limited.
This team's walking in like it's a 7-on-0 drill. What are we doing here? DJ Moore, nobody covers him? There's no down lineman at the goal line? Just two? Here's Baldy as he's breaking it down on video, I think for NFL Network, maybe just on his Twitter feed.
Things that make you go, 11 personnel by the Bears, right? One back, one tight end. Three receivers, Odunze, Zacchaeus, and DJ Moore. On 3rd and 2 at the 2, the Steelers counter with a nickel, two defensive tackles. What do you think the Bears are going to do here? Like they're going to attack those two defensive tackles. And here it is, like just two double teams at the point. They cut TJ with Cole Kmet, and it's a walk in the Soldier Field Park right there for the game-clinching touchdown. Is that how you want to defend your goal line in a nickel? I'm just asking, 11 personnel, is that how you're just matching up on the 2-yard line? Things that make you go,
Bob.
We said the same thing. Chris Hoke saw the same
thing.
What
are we doing? I mean, this is embarrassing, really. You're walking in for touchdowns against a defense that thought it would be historically great? What the hell are they doing?
Well, that was the wrong chess match to play there, and they paid for it. Again, you don't often see easy touchdowns at the goal line. I don't care who you're playing, what level. It's normally hard. There's a pile. There's a push.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of things if you're going to, and they ran it right up the middle. So, yeah, that was a clear mistake. And it
what's
was
next?
The
they go to prevent on 4th and 1?
Well, I
goal
can tell,
line
I can tell
on
you
first
this.
And 10.
If you look at some of the some
let's
of the
bring
plays,
in our goal line package
if you
on
look
third
at some
and 30.
Of the plays, and these are not necessarily the ones that you know that we talk about. There were two times where there was 3rd and 6. One was 3rd and 6, and one was 3rd and 7.
Yeah,
and again, their defensive backs are off the line of scrimmage. Okay, you make it too easy to have someone come out 3 or 4 yards, turn, get a quick hit, and just lean forward and get a first down.
Right.
It can't be like that. You're allowing them to dictate what is going to happen.
Yeah, and you're right, and that's another thing where we don't have to be football schematics geniuses.
Right. It's what you see is what you get.
Yeah, yeah. And football coaches like to make it seem like they're, you know, doing nuclear physics here, right? And it's really not in a lot of cases. Oh, I'm not going to peel back the what we do schematically. You don't have to, Mike. People are running wide open through your defense. You have a nickel package in on third and two at the goal line. And anybody can see or know that if you have receivers at the line of scrimmage and you have an opportunity to disrupt them even for a moment, that's going to help your pass rush, which is allegedly the strength of your team. And yet so many times they go untouched and run free. What are you doing? What is happening here? But how many people figured out the Colts before the Steelers did this season? Like, I've seen Tomlin's defense, it does just enough to keep people fooled. It does. I mean, I'm looking at Joe Burrow up on that screen. They went into Cincinnati, what was it, 3-4 years ago for the season opener and broke that dude in half. They did the same to Josh Allen in a season opener 1 year in Buffalo. They did the same to Burrow in the second game last year, completely stifled him. They wound up losing the game because of their incompetent offense. But they did a great job. They've had some smashing performances. They do every year. But there's no consistency. There's certainly no consistent dominance. And it seems that the biggest mumble moments, they crumble. The biggest mumbles, Bob.
No, you're right. And that's it.
Maybe that's the problem. They're mumbling when they're trying to communicate.
That's why, while on paper, it would appear as if the Buffalo Bills should come in here and do exactly what other teams have done, and they're going to try. I don't think there's any question. But I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden that switches for a week. And then you're back to where you're not sure what Steeler team will show up the following week against the Ravens. So it has to be more consistent. It's just been just up and down and all around defensively. They've given up way too many yards. In certain games, way too many points to teams that really aren't that good.
Yeah.
And they're making them look a lot better than they are.
Agreed. With every single syllable.
What is their identity on defense? If I ask you that question.
I mean, what they want it to be is the bookend pass rushers, like it's been since Harrison and Woodley.
Harrison
right?
said soft.
And it's been, you're going to score field goals and not touchdowns. We're not going to make turnovers, so you're going to have to beat us all the way down the field, and eventually our pass rushers are going to get you. I think that's their identity, don't you? Or their desired identity.
Yeah, but what would you call that? I always thought that they were trying to be that bully on defense.
Yeah, bully. Right.
Right?
A bully.
Have they succeeded?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Not just this year. They haven't succeeded in a long, long time. T.J. Watt, as we've said many times on this show, is in danger of being this generation's Dick Butkus, a great Hall of Fame player who went his whole career without ever winning a playoff game. I think there's a better chance T.J. doesn't win one than does, don't you? A single playoff game?
Well, the way it's going, yeah, because, you know, how many years can you be on a team and continually have these problems? And it also, you know, goes to the other side of the ball where they haven't identified a quarterback who can be the guy year in and year out, so you never have to worry about that problem. So they're always trying to draft or find ways to make that better. Sometimes you need help on defense, too, and they haven't been, and I don't care what the price tag says. They have holes on that defense. So they're going to have to probably figure out more to bring in on that side of the ball, which is – crazy to say, given what they've spent on it.
Yeah, I mean,
what would be
it's $170 million defense.
What would be their identity on offense?
Well, hold on a second.
I find that interesting. It's not what I thought it would be, or what they want it to be on both sides of the ball.
On offense, they want to be a bully too.
Right.
All they
not.
Ever talk about is physicality on
offense. Physicality comes
Steeler DNA.
In other words, 28 carries, 170 yards rushing, pushing people around. They haven't done that. They give up on the run a lot, so they can't be that.
Well, they did get 186 in Chicago, but they could have gotten more still if they had truly
played
the bully.
Most of that was in the first half.
Right. But, well, first off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. A lot happening on today's show. The big boy Mark Cabali at 11. Here's the bigger story still, Robert.
Robert.
And that is Mike Tomlin and his future here if this really goes south. And I just saw the topic there with Orlovsky and company and Stephen A. and all them is, are the Steelers going to have their first losing season under Tomlin? It feels to me as a consumer of national sports media in its many forms that the tide started to turn against Mike Tomlin last year when they had been defending him to the hilt against all reason for years before that. But at least you could see their arguments kind of. And then last year it started to swing a little bit. And the horrific playoff performance in Baltimore when it looked like they quit on him, when Kirk Herbstreit called out the Steelers for appearing to quit on Tomlin. It felt to me as I watch and listen and read to the people who sort of move the needle nationally, wow, they're finally starting to get it, that something's wrong here. And then I listened to Colin Cowherd yesterday, and he really crystallized it. He said a lot of the things that we've been saying, but the fact that it came from that source, think what you will of Cowherd, he's got a huge, huge following, was very interesting to me. We're going to hear from that. We're going to hear that next. And then I'm going to ask Bob what he thinks about Tomlin's future and what he thinks Art the Second is thinking and would think if the Steelers either wind up in the same spot as always, they sneak in and get summarily dismissed from the playoffs, or they miss altogether, or they miss altogether and the non-losing streak ends. Cowherd went crazy about this non-losing streak, and I agreed with everything he said. We'll play it for you next. We'll take your calls. 412-928-9370, 928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line on what you can talk to Sean. Don't call me Seth Meyers. Let the people hear your voice, Sean.
Hello, Joe.
That's Sean.
They'll be calling for sure now.
Text line Absolutely. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, it's time for a message for the pump.
Yes, and I'm glad I'm here, not my cardboard cutout, because that cardboard cutout would not have been able to say this. Because, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know the holidays are coming up fast. Everybody's getting ready for that. You may be putting off those home improvement projects that you know you need. Well, right now is the time to knock them out and save big as you're doing so. As America's most trusted home remodeler, West Shore Home has been helping people transform their homes for nearly 20 years. Their process is really easy, it's quick, and now their projects are even more affordable with Black Friday savings. That's right. They're doing, listen to this, free installation on all projects. Free, F-R-E-E, on all projects when it comes to installation. Whether it's a new bathroom, windows, you got a front door problem, how about a patio door? How about flooring in your entire house? If you schedule now, they're going to waive the installation cost. And one last thing, the team over at West Shore Home is making it even easier to get started right now. For our listeners, they're taking off an extra $500 on your next project, but you need to schedule it at westshorehome.com/fan to lock in those exclusive savings. That's westshorehome.com/fan for Black Friday savings, plus an extra $500 just for listening to our program here. So make sure you choose West Shore Home for your next home project.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking about schematics, not necessarily trips right against cover three with four verticals, but we are talking about how people are wide open all the time and why the hell are the Steelers using a nickel defense from their 2 yard line when the Bears just shove it right down their throats for a touchdown. Little things like that. We're talking about why does this defense always crumble at the biggest moments? Why hasn't Mike Tomlin's defense played even an average playoff game since 2016? And why is he still in charge of it, honestly? Why? And that leads to the bigger question of if this either goes the way it normally goes, which is a resounding playoff defeat after they sneak in at 10-7 or 9-8, or it's worse than that, what's the fate of Mike Tomlin? I'm going to ask Bob about that in a moment. But it's my belief that the national media, which was largely defensive of Tomlin, from the Rich Eisens of the world telling you Steelers fans that basically you're delusional, he's now changed his tune on Tomlin. And it doesn't, when I say change tune on Tomlin, Bob, it's not like people are saying he suddenly became a horrible coach. It's just, it feels in many ways like it's past time here. And it feels like national media types are finally hip to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's just a case of, you know, you hear it all the time in sports where some message or philosophy doesn't work anymore. And so I don't know if they've reached that point. It certainly seems that way in postseason games. But, you know, the rest of this season will not only tell everyone where they are as a team, but also will, you know, tell them where they're going to go maybe in the future in terms of a different direction. But
do you honestly think Art has that in him? If they
when I say that, I mean, I know a major overhaul. The first step for me, from what I see, is if it comes to that, and there's still a long part of the season left, and I always want to say that because things can change.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, they win this week and they beat Baltimore, all of a sudden all the narratives change.
Absolutely.
But I think before that would ever happen, I think what would happen is a major change in coaches.
That's already happened, Bob.
No, I'm talking about major change, a lot of them.
Well, I don't care if they take out the whole group except Tomlin.
Philosophy changes.
Coordinators have changed. Quarterbacks have changed.
Right,
GM has changed. Assistant GM has changed. The only thing that hasn't changed
Mike
is the coach.
Mike hires the coaches, and that may change. You know, they may say, you're not going to do that anymore. We're gonna go where we think we have to go.
Art have the guts to say, you're not going to run the defense anymore? Somebody else is independent?
Well, based on the evidence, yes. I think he should. Don't you?
Yes, I do. But and the non-losing streak, I've always thought, yes, of course, there's something admirable about it, even though it's not a winning streak. It seems a little bit silly when it's said out loud, the non-losing streak. And I often think, okay, they went 8-8 in 12-13. They went 9-7 in 09. They went, 9-6-1 and crumbled down the stretch in 18. They went 8-8 in 19. Does winning that one game in there in all those years makes, like, that's a big difference for you? And I thought that Coward, he did some research on this, Colin Coward, and I really think that he shines a light on the lunacy of praising this non-losing streak to the high heavens. And to Tomlin's credit, he doesn't even praise it. But it's all you see when you tune in the game, that graphic shows every time they play and people talk about how amazing it is. Well, maybe they're starting to think it's less amazing, or maybe they're starting to think there's other numbers that overshadow it. Like, for example, the Steelers are just about to go a full decade, which is Vince Lombardi's entire coaching career, without being competitive in a single playoff game. Here's Coward from yesterday.
I'm going to throw something at you that I think is an arbitrary number, that everybody in sports sees it as a number having value, and I see it as an arbitrary number that doesn't really mean anything. So Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have not had a losing season in 21 seasons. Whew. But there's a story this morning. Is the hot seat heating up? Well, he hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years. He would be fired if he was the Eagles coach or the Cowboys coach. He would be fired if he was, I mean, the New England coach, the San Francisco coach, the Green Bay coach. Green Bay, you got to win playoff games. He'd be fired if he was the Ravens coach. But in Pittsburgh, it's old school. And they take pride in stuff like we have not had a losing season in 21 years. I want you to think about that. I went and looked this up this morning. In that same stretch, 21 seasons, to show you how little that means, we haven't had a losing season. In that same stretch, 21 seasons, 60 NFL teams with winning records missed the playoffs. Winning record doesn't mean anything. It doesn't guarantee anything. In 21 seasons, four times they were 500. Another four, they were a game over. What does it mean? It's just an arbitrary number. So let me give you four or five teams that in 21 seasons have had losing seasons. The Chiefs, Philadelphia, Rams, Tampa Bay, the Patriots. They bought them out. They have losing seasons. So, you know, this whole thing about Mike Tomlin not having a losing season. Let me throw this at you. You know who has the longest streak in the NBA of not having a losing season? I want you to think about this. Give it 10 seconds. What NBA franchise has the longest streak of non-losing seasons? The Clippers, 14. In their own city, the Lakers make fun of the Clippers. Jeannie Buss, the former owner, used to make fun of the Clippers privately and publicly. They were a laughingstock. Didn't matter if Steve Ballmer had 10 times the net worth. The Clippers are like the eye roll of Los Angeles. And they got good people in the building. And Ty Lue's, you're the Clippers. I mean, you got a bunch of banners, but it's just, to me, it's just, I mean, Pittsburgh is, it's a small city. You know, I get it. It's old school. You know, I mean, you go to a party in Pittsburgh, you talk about, it's like St. Louis. Where'd you go to high school? That's like not a conversation in New York, Chicago, Philly, Boston, San Francisco, LA, St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Hey, where'd you go to high school? I don't know. I'm 44. Who cares? But that, you know, I get it. But this whole arbitrary number, I would rather have the Steelers bottom out this year. And if Dante Moore's available, go grab him. I mean, that to me, go get a legitimate franchise quarterback for 15 years, 12 of it in his prime. So, but I this whole Tomlin thing, Belichick and Andy Reid got let go. It's nothing against Mike, but this arbitrary 21 years without a losing record, it means nothing.
Bob, arbitrary is a great word for it. He expressed it more eloquently than I have. I'll frankly admit that. And the Clippers thing is so great.
That's a good example.
Yeah, I really don't care about the non-losing streak because mixed in there, as he said, is 400 or 500 seasons. So they went 8-8 four times. If they had gone 7-9, it would be wildly different. What? No. What are we doing here?
Well, as you said, Tomlin himself doesn't even care about that. But I will say this. When you look at like 17 games, everyone thinks 17-game seasons. But look at the last 17 games that carry back into last year. They're 7-10.
Yeah.
And 17 games would make an entire season, right?
Yes.
So it still comes down to what you do in crunch time. If you get into the playoffs, winning playoff games. And that's the only way this is ever going to change. It has to change that way. And not only that.
Well, how long are you willing to wait for that to change? We've been waiting almost a decade.
I mean, if it happens this year and it's the same kind of result, that may speed things up. I don't know. All I know is that they cannot continue to go into these playoff games and get embarrassed like they did last year in Baltimore or any of the other preceding ones.
Well, you know Art better than I do, better than most probably do. Do you think that he's okay as long as they're continuing the non-losing streak, maybe sneaking into the playoffs above the mean? As a member of the Rumi family put it last year, do you think he's going to be okay with that? Or do you think he has it in him to change the head coach?
I think that impatience has been on display. He does, but he also, you know, they signed him again.
Wait, when has that impatience been on display?
Well, in some of his comments leading, it's time to win. It's time to get in the playoffs and win. He's made those comments.
I know, but those are pirate-like words.
I understand.
Talk is cheap, like Travis Williams said yesterday.
Totally agree. And that's why I think it's getting more toward that, you know, the pendulum is swinging more in that direction. I don't know. I don't know how they'll react one way or the other.
Yeah.
But because they signed him to an extension, I don't think he will be affected first. I think it'll be something beyond that. It'll be more coaches.
Then nobody's interested. I'll just stop you right there.
Me what I thought.
I asked you specifically if you thought that Art would be moved to fire, or they're never going to fire Tomlin.
Arrange to move on to Chuck Noll. It's the same thing that happened to Chuck Noll.
I think
if they do split, it'll be that way.
Yeah. So my question specifically is, as someone who knows Art and knows him to be a very, I'm sure, patient man, do you think more of the same or worse would move him to move on from Tomlin?
It could. I don't know the answer to that, other than I think it would be to a point where they probably consider it, have long talks about it before they made a decision. But yes, I think it's headed in that direction. Whether it would happen now, or again, my opinion would be it's going to be more coaches and maybe an edict about how business is done. You know,
that would sound very pirate-like.
Well,
to put out an edict and change, you know, the hitting coach.
I'm just saying, Mike hires his coaches. They may take that away and say, we're going to go in a different direction with this, and this is what happens. I don't know. You're asking me what I think will happen in the future. For all I know, they could win a few more games, get in, and win a playoff game.
For sure. And if they do, by the way, then Tomlin has stated his case, I think. And he'd get the last laugh this season. Meanwhile, Nick Wright, Andrew Filippone's Syracuse friend,
mm-hmm.
very nice man, Bob. Do you know him?
Never met him.
Neither
but
have
Andrew
I.
said nice things about him. Yeah. So.
On First Things First, the podcast says, I'd be willing to discuss Mike Tomlin trades this offseason. The comp I would use, and I know he wasn't traded, he was just fired, but Andy Reid in Philly. Excellent coach. Maybe it's best for everyone involved, a fresh start. Tomlin, once again, he looks like he's going to be a victim of his own success. And reminds me of, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury in some ways. You win that Stanley Cup early, and then everything you do after that, or even Matt Murray might be a better example. Matt Murray's the better example. You win two cups while you're a rookie. What else are you going to do after that? And then not only did he not come close to equaling that, but he just leveled off and was gone.
Tomlin has
leveled off too here.
I think the missed opportunities when you have the talent that you had at quarterback for all those years, that's when they should have won more playoff games. That's when they should have gone deeper. And that's when they should have challenged four Super Bowls. They had the franchise quarterback. He was here for all those years. And they didn't take advantage of it. So,
well, I think, and I don't know Art very well, or really at all, but if he was going to be moved, I would think that the events of this season would be the final straw. Coming in, the bragging or the boasting about the defense, I thought was embarrassing on all fronts, the players, but especially the coach, when he was given the opportunity to tamper that, only inflamed it, that we could be basically a historically great defense, and then the number of embarrassing performances they've had. That's A, and then B, jumping out to a huge lead in the division. And in a year where the Bengals crumbled when they were expected to be good because Joe Burrow got hurt and the Ravens started 1-5,
yeah.
You're not even in first place a week before Thanksgiving. I would think that this, if I was already, let's put it this way. If I were the team owner and was already on alert and already on, you know, high watch with my head coach, this would be it. If he doesn't rebound. And people hear the trade talk and I always have to laugh because they laugh. Like, oh, what is happening here? Well, why are we talking about trades? You don't trade coaches. Well, actually, coaches have been traded in the NFL, Bob.
And in other sports, too. I mean, the Pirates engaged something like that.
Chuck Tanner got here because of that.
Right.
Now, it's not just like afterthought coaches who have been traded in the NFL. Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, and John Gruden have been. So I would bet, and still bet, that Tomlin would get a job in 5 minutes, as the saying goes. He would. So would a lot of other guys, by the way. So that really doesn't impress me either. That's right up there with the non-losing streak. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Dan Campbell, Matt LaFleur, Jim Harbaugh. Should I keep going? I still think Kevin O'Connell,
absolutely.
Ben Johnson, some offensive coordinators out there will be hired over Tomlin. It doesn't impress me that he'd be hired in 5 minutes, but it is a fact. And if he's still being coveted, then a trade might be best for all parties. The Bears actually called about one last offseason.
Right, and they didn't go very far with that conversation. I think, why wouldn't you consider all aspects? I would. I mean, I'd have to look at everything about an organization, how it's going, what needs are there, what can I do to better solve my quarterback question, whatever it would take to do that. I think that's the number one issue moving forward after this year for sure, and they have to solve it. And the question is, do they have the right people in charge to not only solve it but develop it?
Do they have the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah, do they have the man in charge, Art the Second, who was actually the boss and who can evaluate and treat Tomlin like an employee instead of a, co-CEO? And I thought it was very telling last year when the whole Bears thing came up and the Steelers made it clear there would be no divorce. They were going to stay married for the kids, so to speak, Bob. There wasn't going to be a trade. But it wasn't Rooney who put out a statement. It was Tomlin, the all-powerful, unimpeachable head coach, who was asked about it during the offseason and said, save your time, about himself possibly being traded. I thought that was quite telling.
Things that make you go, hmm.
I wonder about the structure, the power structure with the Steelers, and if Art could ever bring himself to move on. 412-928-9370. But I'm also with you on this, Bob. If Tomlin salvages this season, man, then he's earned it. And by salvaging, you and I both mean win at least one playoff game.
Yeah,
yes?
I think more like two.
Okay. 412.
But one would keep everything the same. Two, then they would say, well, now you know why we extended him.
Yeah. I mean, one to me would be pretty profound, given that we're in an almost 9-year drought.
If it's a good performance against a good team, and that's what they have to shoot for here. But this all starts this week, these two games. I think, Joe, after these 2 weeks, we'll know exactly where they're headed.
Yeah. And I think the Bills game is almost a de facto playoff game, because even if the Ravens lose and the Steelers beat the Bills, the Ravens still control their fate by beating the Steelers twice.
Right.
But the Steelers would feel better about their wild card chances for sure. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. All right, let's hit a couple phone calls, Bob, shall we?
Sure.
Sean?
I'm sure they're lined up, right, Sean?
That's right. Let's go to Jay in Columbus.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, good morning, guys. Did you know that the Steelers have the 27th and 28th offense and defense?
Yeah.
And I am so sick and tired of the word salad schematics. Let's call it what it is. Horrible coaching. Guys wide open all the time. Green Bay game, Cincinnati game, this last game. This coaching staff sucks. He has no coaching tree. He kept Matt Canada 3 years. He brings in a bum Arthur Smith. He kept Terrell Austin. He lets Brian Flores go. He makes no halftime adjustments. He sucks. He's got to go. He needs fired. And we ain't winning a playoff game. Forget that. We'll probably get boat raced by the Bills. We'll get swept by the Ravens unless they got the division wrapped up. And my prediction was 7-10 at the beginning of the year. That's still a definite possibility. Cleveland, hell, Myles Garrett might have 10 sacks with our offensive line. I just don't. I mean, somebody needs to do an article in Pittsburgh about Mike Tomlin's coaching tree, because that's non-existent.
Wouldn't be a very long article, Bob. If articles were still measured in inches, that one would be a centimeter.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, too. He mentioned a good point there about second halves. That's where you can tell where things are going.
Yeah.
And recently in the second halves,
oh my God,
they have done nothing. They have offensively done nothing, and they've given up a lot of points to start. The Green Bay game is a good example of that, and so is the Chicago game. They had a lead in both of those cases.
Yeah.
And you, at that point, that's where the bully mentality on offense should come into play, if that's what you want to be as an identity. And it didn't. And not only do you go three and out, but your defense gives up major points immediately. And,
right.
And they're all plays that look to be unchallenged, many of them. So That, to me, is the biggest indictment of coaching schematics.
Yeah, and it's not just this week or anything like that. Like, I can see Art sitting back, you know, in that stable Steelers calm amidst the storm mentality and philosophy, saying to himself, oh, this is another one of those weeks. Everyone's going to overreact to this week. It's really not about this week. It's about going on 9 years now. That's A. And B, the complaints, the critiques are legitimate. And C, it's not just emotional fan overreaction. The complaints, Art, are coming from inside your house. Go down into the basement.
And former players.
Go into the locker room. Open the locker room. Open your office. Let Patrick Queen walk in. What did he mean? Yeah, they're coming from your locker room. They're coming from your former players. They're coming from NFL, ex-NFL players around the league, and it ain't the first time. You remember Julian Edelman? Tomlin's still doing the same thing? Used to put linebackers on me 15 years ago. 412-928-9370. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Who's next?
We're going out to Staten Island with Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
How are you, Lou?
Pretty good, guys. Let me roll off a few things if it's okay with you, all right? The last caller.
Yeah, we got the general coming up here, Lou, so you got about a minute.
Okay. Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, Bill Parcells, all either fired or pushed out the door, and all this current coach couldn't shine their shoes. So I'm tired of people saying, can he get another job? Who cares? Let him go get another job. In 20 years of coaching, how many years did he actually overachieve with a team where we had playoff success? The answer is zero. And I'm going to ask you a date, January 15th, 2018. You know what that date is, guys?
What?
That's the date after Blake Bortles looked like Dan Marino. And as I'm driving home to Staten Island, 6.5 hours in traffic, I called Cook and Pony and I said the following. We're screwed. If you can't win with the talent that we have, what are we going to do when Ben retires and this man is coaching teams that aren't as good as the teams that we're playing, and you need a coach who can steal 2 or 3 wins a season? And they were like, yeah, maybe, maybe. But you know what? Look at what's happened. The exact thing.
And to be fair, that's happened to a lot of other great coaches, that when they're parted from their great quarterback, things don't go so well, including Chuck Knoll. Including Jimmy Johnson, you know, when he went to Miami, and the list goes on. Vince Lombardi with Bart Starr, he had one more stop in Washington that didn't go well. I always think it's more about the quarterback. But sometimes you got to move on, Bob.
You know, it's funny. If you look back to when the Coward Donahoe thing was going on, Joe, remember that?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who wanted Coward to lose that battle. They had 3 straight non-winning seasons. I think it was 16 games. It was 6-10, 7-9, whatever it was. It was 3 straight, and there was a power struggle going on, and they chose to keep the coach and not GM, right?
Right.
So I think that's kind of the philosophy that they have going into this, and eventually it led to a Super Bowl.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.